Gordon, I just wanted to ask you about Louis Armstrong. You you first became aware of Louis Armstrong, I understand, when you were 4 years old.
Ten.
Wasn't it, I remember you telling me about your...
You were 10? I was 10 when I saw him.
Oh, when you saw him in Liverpool.
But I knew about him because Dad had the records.
That's right, the Hot Fives and Hot Sevens.
The Hot Five. The first record I ever heard was one where you and I have never played. It was called Squeeze Me by the Hot Five.
Hmm.
And it has one interesting feature in it, that somebody slams the door. And it's been a subject of consternation throughout since 1925. Who slammed the door? And it turned out it was Richard M. Jones. He came down from the studio. They had no microphones, so they worked visually. And he saw something he didn't like, so he came down, opened the studio door, and in the middle of the Dodgers clarinet solo, he let the door shut. And that's the way it was. He admitted it.
Now, you've seen Louis quite a few times, I guess.
The first time was 1934 at Liverpool Empire. And then the next night, he was up at Southport, which is 18 miles away, playing the Garrick Theatre. But I'll never forget the reception he got in Liverpool. It was absolutely incredible. And the same thing happened at the Covent Garden in London. The theatre was silent. 8 o'clock came, the lights dimmed very, very slowly. And you've got about 4,000 people sitting there, not a sound. And one little spotlight comes on to the left-hand corner of the stage. The stage is all black. And the spotlight sits there with nobody inside that you can't see. And then Louis' face appears. And the place took off. 4,000 people standing ovation. And it lasted only 15 minutes. They wouldn't let him play. It was the most moving experience. It was like the return of the second coming.
No kidding.
It was incredible.
Now, during the 1960s, you told me earlier that Armstrong made an appearance in Cornwall.
At the hockey arena.
Yeah.
Louis told me, he said, we hate playing hockey arenas, but the other alternative is playing tobacco warehouses. And Joe Glazer booked him into hockey arenas in Canada and tobacco warehouses in the Midwest. And he said, the tobacco warehouses are great, the smell is lovely. But he said, the ice rinks were cold, you know. There was only 200 people at Cornwall.
And apparently he signaled to go outside and get some more people to come in and join the party.
Yeah, we had the windows open. It was midsummer. We had the big louver windows open. And he could hear Louis across the canal. It was marvellous sound outside. It's like coming across the levee, you know. And he said, well, let's play a bit louder. And they were already very loud because there was no people there. And that was the occasion when Lee Smith, my trumpet player, said to Louis, you don't play the plunger trumpet solo and dipper-mouth blues anymore. Now, Oliver always had this famous wah-wah trumpet solo and dipper-mouth. And Louis said, well, I haven't got the mute. But now he has got the mute, because the mute is King Oliver's. And Trummy Young says, I've got it in my bag. So he goes and gets Oliver's mute. And for Lee Smith, he actually played dipper-mouth blues with the wah-wah Oliver trumpet solo. The only time he's ever done it. And I was very honored, and so was Lee.
Now, when you were fronting your band here in Ottawa and playing at the Chez Lucien, what was the most requested Louis Armstrong composition?
I think Mahogany Hall Stump. Mahogany Hall Stump. We didn't do West End Blues very well. We did it at the National Arts Centre with some disastrous results, but we played West End Blues occasionally, but not often, because for no reason at all, really, because we screwed it up once and we were a bit nervous of it after that. But it worked fine after that. But the biggest successful thing, I think, was Mahogany Hall Stump.
Now, early on in Louis Armstrong's career, he played very much cornet. Yeah. And did he ever play that later on? Or did he just
abandon it? Well, Lee tried to get him to play it in Cornwall. And he said, I haven't brought it with me. And Tommy Young again pipes up and says, yes, you have.
Now, was there a reason why he didn't play the cornet?
The reason he switched to trumpet was it recorded better. And in the dance halls, it projected. The cornet is a beautiful, much better instrument for jazz, but it's limited range. You can't get the throw, the projection that you get from a trumpet.
Was he ever... Oh, sorry.
Recording engineers loved the trumpet. It was easier to monitor than the cornet.
Was he ever attracted to the flugelhorn at all?
Never.
No.
Never. He never played any fancy things.
Just stuck with that...
I was thinking, you know, I didn't know, and a lot of people don't know, that Louis Armstrong knew Jabbo Smith. Now, you've heard Jabbo, who was the only technical rival that Louis ever had. The musical rival, other than technical, was Red Allen, and he was very jealous of Red Allen. Red Allen was recording for Victor. And if Red Allen had had Joe Glazer as manager, it would have been a bit different story, you know. Anyway, Louis talks about a cutting contest on the corner of Pedido Street, and then one corner is Jabbo Smith, and on the other is Louis. Just then, two of them, and they're playing for tips. And after the crowd had gone to one side and then to the other, Jabbo would signal, and they'd go and meet in the middle, shake hands, and go for a beer, and split the proceeds. I love it.
So they were the best of friends.
Oh,
and
yes.
Friendly rivalry.
But there was real competition. Again, if Jabbo had had a proper manager, it would have been a different story. Jazz history would have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was a fabulous, as you know. We played them. He's a fabulous trumpet player.
Now, tell me a little about Louis Armstrong's relationship that he had with Bessie Smith.
Oh, it's very good. Well, Bessie liked trumpet players who didn't get in the way. And Louis was hired and put in there by Joe Glazer, and Clarence Williams had something to do with it. He was managing Bessie at the time. And they recorded some very fine tracks, but Louis dominates, and you can't dominate Bessie Smith.
I was just going to say that.
So, and then she went to Joe Glazer and said, I'd like a quieter trumpet player. And she picked Joe Smith, who's marvellous, by the way. He's nearly on every Bessie made. But then she accused Clarence Williams of cheating her. And Clarence Williams was the honest broker. He was probably the only honest agent in Harlem. And she threatened to throw him out of a second-story window. And she turned his desk over. And then she found out that actually he'd overpaid her. Overpaid her, not underpaid her. So there was handshakes all around and they go for a drink. But he never played. Louis never played with Bessie again.
Bubber Marley was one of the outstanding musicians in the early Ellington bands. Did Louis Armstrong ever play with Bubber Marley or even play with the Duke Ellington Orchestra?
There is an LP done a long time ago, about 1950, of Louis. I can't recall it now. With Louis with the Ellington band, but it's nothing.
But they never did anything with the early Ellington bands?
No, nothing. Yeah, I know the period you mean. No, they should have done.
Yeah.
But Ellington had his core of trumpet players. He had loads of them. He didn't need a Louis Armstrong. What did he?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. And there's still some riches to be found out there, eh? And Louis Armstrong's music and...
Well, I get a different story every day. I thought I had read everything I could, but this cutting contest came out of the woodwork and a magazine I was reading yesterday. I'd never heard about this, that he ever knew Jabbo Smith and that they ever sort of had this camaraderie together, you know.
And, of course, Gordon is celebrating Louis Armstrong's 100th birthday. Actually, Gordon has been celebrating Louis Armstrong's 100th birthday. For the last 100 years, more or less. Certainly one of the most played artists.
I've played him about 50 times, at least, and I've done 2, 3, or 4 specials, right?
Mm.
And that's why I say each time we just retired him peacefully after this show.